as we talk about fear cannot stop you, part two. But we've been starting off this with this passage of scripture all year. In order to honor the Lord, you must respect and defer to the authority of every human institution, whether it be the highest ruler or the governors he puts in place to punish lawbreakers and to praise those who do what's right. For it is God's will for you to silence the ignorance of foolish people by doing what is right. As God's loving servants, you should live in complete freedom, but never use your freedom as a cover-up for evil. Recognize the value of every person, because every person is valuable, and continually show love to every believer. Live your lives with great reverence and holy awe of God. Honor your rulers. And I know you want to be pleasing to God, so we need to do those things. Now go with me, please, to 2 Timothy 2. Because we've been talking about fear, and certainly there are a lot of people and too many believers that are operating in fear because of this pandemic. And as I said the last time I was with you on Wednesday, I'm not downplaying what we're going through. It's real and it's serious. I'm upplaying who we are in Christ. And I know upplaying is a new word, but I sometimes create words just to make a point. So we're not downplaying the pandemic. We're upplaying who we are in Christ, because I believe, and the Bible backs me up, that when we operate based on who we are in Christ, things change. And I believe you're in agreement with me when I say we need things to change. So in 2 Timothy 1, verse 7, King James Version, it reads, "For God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." Now, too often we read that scripture and we think that means we're not supposed to be afraid. And some folks get over into condemnation because they feel fear. Well, fear is very real. I don't know of any human that has never been afraid. Yeah, I, you know, walk around like I'm this big, tough, rock solid guy, but there have been times in my life when I've been afraid. There have been times when, as a believer, I've been afraid. And I had to come to grips with that fear and realize that it couldn't stop me, because I've been given something much more powerful than the fear. Only I had to get to the place where I had to realize that, and that's what I want all of you to do today also. So God didn't give us a spirit of fear. When we receive Christ as our Savior, we became what the Bible says, we are new creatures in Christ Jesus. As new creatures in Christ Jesus, we no longer have the nature to sin. We don't have the sin nature as new creatures in Christ Jesus. So here's a question for you. We don't have the sin nature, which means God hadn't given us the spirit of sin. Do we still sin? It's okay to raise your hand. I can't see you where I am anyway. But some of us get angry. We weren't given the nature of anger, but we still get angry. But just because you weren't given that nature doesn't mean it can't happen, because there's another entity out there called Satan or the devil who will try and give you the spirit of fear and every other thing that goes against what God said, because he wants you to separate yourself from God. And we're going to get into that in a few minutes. But God gave us something to fight fear. In 1 Peter 4:8, New Living Translation, says, "Most important of all, continue to show deep love for each other, for love covers a multitude of sin." See, God didn't want us to sin, so he loved us, and his love covers a multitude of sin. Look what else his love does in 1 John 4, verse 18. There is no fear in love. There's no fear in love. This is the Amplified Bible. Dread does not exist, but full-grown, complete, perfect love turns fear outdoors and expels every trace of terror. For fear brings with it the thought of punishment, and so he who is afraid has not reached the full maturity of love and has not yet grown into love's complete perfection. See, the reason we fear is the same reason we sin. Poor choices. Poor choices. We look at a situation or a situation presents itself, folks, and we look more at the situation and what it's saying it offers, and we don't look at what God said concerning it and what God said concerning the effect it should or should not have on us as his children. Now, again, I'm not getting deep. I'm trying to keep this very, very basic for us because it's important that we understand the principles. The choices that we make are based on what we choose to believe at that moment. And what we choose to believe, or if you don't do it, what I choose to believe at any given moment is based on what I've been thinking about prior to that moment. There are times at night, and my wife will attest, that I have bad dreams. Bad dreams, and I would actually participate in the bad dream. If I thought if someone was coming after me in my sleep, I'm fighting them off. Well, I started taking an assessment of things that I do or did before I went to sleep. I will watch movies. I like dinosaur movies, so I watch a dinosaur movie. That's a good thing to watch before you go to bed. We'll see a dinosaur eating somebody. But I was watching things that were not settling my mind, not settling my spirit. So my body was reacting to the last thing that was placed into it before I went to sleep. And I had to learn, and I'm learning, I'm transparent, that I want to put the word in me before I go to sleep. I want the last thing that my body is exposed to is the word. That will calm me. That'll help my brain relax. That'll help me get a peaceful night's sleep. And I also want the first thing I'm exposed to when I wake up to be the word. For the same reason, not that I want to fall asleep, but I want to have a calm and peaceful and productive day. So I have to be mindful about what it is, what choices that I'm making. James 1, verse 16, 17, New King James Version, says, "Do not be deceived, my beloved brethren. Every good gift, every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variableness or shadow of turning." So if it comes from God, it will always be good and perfect, and that's really not hard to distinguish. When we are presented with choices, the Bible tells us, "I put before you life and death, blessing and cursing, choose life." So it's not like that cartoon thing, Where's Waldo, where you have to go searching for what's from God. If God said choose life, it has to be evident that this produces death, this produces life. And we have to want to choose life. But looking back at 2 Timothy, God didn't give us a spirit of fear because he doesn't want us to be enslaved to fear. And too many of us right now, we're enslaved to fear. God knew that fear existed. He knew fear would present itself. But look what he did about it in that same scripture. It says he'd given us power, love, and a sound mind. And this is what he told me about it. He gave us power so we could break the bonds of fear. I share the scriptures about every time I minister. It's one of my very favorite scriptures. It's Luke 10:19, and it's in the Amplified Bible. Because I believe once I got hold of this scripture, it started changing the way I was thinking about circumstances. And then once you get a hold on it, I think it'll change the way you think about them also. Jesus said, "Behold, I have given you authority and power to trample upon serpents and scorpions and physical and mental strength and ability over all the power that the enemy possesses, and nothing shall by any means harm you." Now think about what he just said. He's given us authority and power. So why did he need both? Well, if the devil doesn't use your authority, he's going to have to yield to your power. It's just that simple. And he gave us physical and mental strength and ability. So we can't be depressed or oppressed or pushed to the limit and all of those things, however you want to say it, because we have physical and mental strength and ability over anything the devil's got. Anything that the devil's got, we have authority over it. We have power over it. We have physical and mental strength and ability. And I like the way I say it, and just for good measure, he said, nothing shall by any means harm you. So we can face the fears. We can face anything the devil's got, and we don't have to concern ourselves with being harmed by it. Now, that's not saying, you know, don't wear your gloves when you go out, or don't wear a mask, or, you know, don't practice the regulations that were recommended by the authorities for whom we prayed would operate in godly wisdom. That's not what I'm saying. Do the things that are right. Remember, we silence the ignorance of foolish people by doing what is right. So it's right to follow the guidelines, but do not let the fear of the circumstance change the way you are, change the way you think, or change your knowledge of who God is and who Christ is. But fear is just a manifestation of the power over which we have already been given authority. We've already been given it. And what we're going, this is a manifestation of that power. So we just have to take authority over it. He's also given us love. Why? Perfect love casts out fear. And he's given us a sound mind. As I said earlier, he's given us physical and mental strength and ability over everything the devil's got. So we have a sound mind. And because we have a sound mind, and this excites me, in the midst of the fear, we can make the right choice. While we're in the midst of the fear, we can remember who we are. And while we're in the midst of the fear, we can remember that we're God's property. We're God's property. And he loves us. Look at Romans 1, because there's something we have that's greater than fear. Much far greater than fear. And it's really a very, I call it the basic operating system of a believer. In Romans 1, this is one of the best things God ever provided for us to conquer fear. I'll start with verse 16. I'm in the King James Version. And then we're going to go to 2 Corinthians 5:7. It says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For in the gospel is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith." The just shall live by faith. In 2 Corinthians 5:7, in the King James Version, simply says, we walk by faith and not by sight. You look at everything that's going around, all around you, and you don't let that determine how you're going to walk. What I mean by how you're going to walk, how you're going to feel, how you're going to speak, what you're going to do, what you're going to say, should not be dependent on circumstance. I like that term, Lord. Circumstantial evidence. It should be dependent on what thus saith the Lord. And one of the things that I found out, and those of you that have come here, especially for healing class, I've shared that with you also. The word of God is not our most powerful weapon. Don't shut us down. Not being a heretic. But the word of God is not the believer's most powerful weapon. The believer's most powerful weapon is their faith in the word of God. You can read scripture all day long. If you don't believe what you're reading, it won't do a thing for you. See, one of the problems we're having today is people read the word, but they're not believing it because they don't understand that very often. Well, think about it. Think about it. If you were an enemy, and I know you're not, but if you wanted to invoke fear, even when someone says something that's supposed to make you back down, you may call their bluff and keep coming anyway. Well, that's what the enemy does sometimes. You make a bold declaration of faith, and you'll expect things will immediately get better, and it will appear to get worse. And it's done for a reason. I'm going to share that reason with you in a few moments, I promise you. But let's go to Galatians 3. We're going to move into it. New Living Translation. And I'm going to share it in a translation called The Voice. I don't think we have that one. But you can follow along. And I'm doing two translations because I want you to really see this. Paul said, I ask you again, does God give you the Holy Spirit and work miracles among you because you obey the law? Of course not. It is because you believe the message you heard about Christ. Remember, faith comes by hearing. And this scripture is telling us, the miracles that were worked among you were not because you were such a great person. It's because you heard the word and you believed it. The Voice translation says, you have experienced the Spirit he gave you in powerful ways. Miracle after miracle has occurred right before your eyes in this community. So tell me, did all this happen because you have kept certain provisions of God's law? Or was it because you heard the gospel and accepted it by faith? We have what we have, folks, and we can do what we do because we have heard the gospel and we've accepted it by faith. That's what makes us really invincible. We've heard the gospel, we've heard what Jesus said, and we accepted it by faith as being the absolute truth, and we allow that to control our behavior. We allow that to control our thoughts. And we allow that to control what comes out of our mouths. Because if we don't, we'll get ourselves in trouble. All the victories that we've experienced didn't happen because we were such great people. And God took a liking to us. All of the victories that we have experienced happened because we believed the word. It happened because we had faith. And we acted like we had faith. Now go to Mark 11, please. This is where I really wanted to get to. I've shared this before, but this is one of the best how-to scriptures when it comes to faith that I've ever read. It's Mark 11:23 in the Ben Campbell Johnson translation. I don't know if we have that one to put up, but just listen. Truly, anyone who speaks to that mountain yonder saying, dump yourself in the lake, and does not become separated from the statement he makes, that person will actualize his statement. When anyone's expression in prayer is congruent with his inner being, his desire will be actualized. Folks, this is the key for handling fear. Do not become separated from the statement you make. Fear's purpose is to separate us from faith. Because fear can't come if we're in faith. So fear presents itself in a way to cause us to separate ourselves. It's not powerful enough to physically pull us apart from our faith, but it presents things. Fear would always win the Emmy or whatever the award is for movies, the Oscar. I don't follow that too much, but fear will always get that award. He knows how to present it. And we'll look at what he's presenting, and we will make a conscious choice to back away. Oh, maybe I shouldn't have said that. I was in a service once, and I was talking about the power that we have, and I was talking about the attacks that I've overcome. And I made a statement. I said, my attitude is, go ahead, devil. You take your best shot. Someone got a little nervous. I said, no, don't do that. And I'm like, my position is, why not? Why not? I'm not being arrogant. I'm being bold. I'm letting the enemy know I am not afraid of you. I'm letting the enemy know at one point you scared me. You don't scare me anymore. At one point, I wasn't sure of who I was in Christ. Well, now I am. I'm sure now. I'm rock solid now. So you got something you want to bring? Bring it. You think you want to get a piece of me? Bring it. You're going to find out that I understand how to exercise my authority, and I know how to unleash the power of God. So it doesn't matter to me how you come, when you come, or where you come. You're going to find the same thing. Faith in God's word coming out of the mouth of this believer. And I wanted faith coming out of the mouth of all of you believers. Because fear's purpose is it's to separate you. Be wise as serpents. Be informed. But don't allow yourselves to be overwhelmed with statistical data. It's information. It doesn't change who you are, and it doesn't change what we have to do. Whether there was one case of coronavirus or 100,000 cases, we have to do the same thing. We have to believe God. We have to operate in fear, in faith, and not in fear. We have to operate in faith and not in fear. Don't look at the numbers. Look at who you are. Focus on who you are. And it doesn't just have to be the coronavirus. It doesn't matter what it is. Whatever it is that you're quote-unquote going through, go through it based on who you are in Christ. Don't go through it wrapped in fear. You'll make poor choices and find yourself becoming hopeless. Let me show you, I saw a connection between that scripture and that we just read in Mark 11 where it says, you know, you speak the word and you don't become separated. I want you to see what happens when you become separated. Would you go to John 15 in the New Living Translation? John 15. And we're going to spend a few minutes here. I'm just going to read it through first, and then I'm going to unpack it a little. It's Jesus speaking. He said, I am the true grapevine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch of mine that doesn't produce fruit, and he prunes the branches that do bear fruit so they will produce even more. You have already been pruned and purified by the message I have given you. Remain in me, and I will remain in you. For a branch cannot produce fruit if it's severed from the vine, and you cannot be fruitful unless you remain in me. That's what Jesus said. Yes, I am the vine, you are the branches. Those who remain in me and I in them will produce much fruit, for apart from me, you can do nothing. Anyone who does not remain in me is thrown away like a useless branch and withers. Such branches are gathered into a pile to be burned. But if you remain in me and my words remain in you, you may ask anything you want and it will be granted. When you produce much fruit, you are my true disciples. Now let's look at these connections. Jesus said, he is the true vine, and his father is the gardener. And he cuts off every branch of his. He cuts off every branch of his that doesn't bear fruit. Which means if when we are connected, when we stay separate, when we don't separate ourselves from our faith in the Word of God, we should be producing much fruit. When you and he prunes the branches that don't bear, so they'll produce even more. When you hold fast, no matter what comes, your productivity increases because you're not letting go. It says you've already been pruned and purified by the message I've given you. You've already heard the message of the gospel, and faith came. Faith came when you heard the message of the gospel. Well, you wouldn't be born again if faith didn't come. Verse 4 says, remain in me, and I will remain in you. For a branch cannot produce fruit if it's severed from the vine, and you cannot be fruitful unless you remain in me. You believe Jesus is who the scriptures say he is, and then you stay connected to the faith-filled words you've spoken. See, when you separate yourself from faith, from the faith-filled words, you're saying, you're denying Jesus is Lord. You're denying his deity. You're denying the power that he gave us. And we're saying that fear is superior to faith. And we know that it's not. Fear is very good at giving you illusions. I don't think there's anybody out there that fears the best. Nobody fears the best. You fear the worst is going to happen to you. I don't walk around fearing, oh, great things are going to happen to me. Good things are going to happen. No, the enemy comes and he presents things to you so you can fear the worst. But in the worst of times, you hold on tighter. But what you don't do is allow yourself to step away. You don't allow yourself to become separated. Because when you separate yourself from the word, you're separating yourself from Christ. He said, remain in me, and I will remain in you. For you, a branch cannot produce fruit if it's severed from the vine. We won't be able to accomplish anything. We will remain living a life of fear if we separate ourselves from the faith-filled words that we've spoken. Because the faith-filled words we've spoken are based on what Jesus told us. Remember what he said in John 6:63? The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. So when I separate myself from the faith-filled words that I've spoken for any reason, I'm separating myself from life. If the words he speaks are spirit and life, and all I do is repeat to a circumstance the words Jesus spoke to me, I separate that. I step away from it because the circumstance acts like it doesn't want to listen. I'm separating myself from life. Remember, the just shall live by faith. Faith is my life source. That's why I walk by faith, not by sight. Because if I'm looking at it, I may swerve away from my faith path. It's very hard to walk a straight line looking off to your left or to your right. Eventually, your body's going to move into the direction of what you're looking. So you don't want to deny the power that he gave you. You don't want to say that fear is superior to faith. And Jesus said, yes, I'm the vine, you're the branches. Those who remain in me and I in them will produce much fruit, but apart from me, you can do nothing. Now you think about it. You make a bold statement of faith, and you're operating in it. And the enemy comes with something that suggests that maybe your faith isn't working, even though you're working it. For example, it's not in the notes, but it just dropped in, so I'm going to share it with you. Peter. They were out on the water, out in the sea. And they saw Jesus walking, and they were afraid. Fear gripped them because they thought it was a ghost. But Peter, even though they thought it was a ghost, Jesus said, don't be afraid, it's I. Peter said, if it's you, bid me to come walk with you on the water. Now, mind you, he didn't say, I know it's you. He said, if it's you. So at that point, he still has some fear, and he's wondering, is this Jesus or is this a ghost? If he guesses wrong, he's in a lot of trouble. But Jesus said, it is I. Peter believed, and he got out of the boat and started walking on the water towards Jesus. But then something happened. See, I don't believe it was just that, you know, he took his eyes off Jesus per se, because me, if I was on the water, I'd have been dancing and trying to moonwalk and doing everything to let the water know it just doesn't have any power over me. But what Peter was doing is he was looking at the power of the storm. He was looking at how the waves were rising up. He was looking at it smashing against the boat, and he saw this boat rocking, and the boat's much bigger than Peter. And Peter began to think, I can't walk on water. He just said, think about it. He said, Jesus, if it's you, bid me to come. Jesus said, come. So he believed it was Jesus. So his attitude was, I'm going to walk on the water. But the water didn't calm down. See, modern-day believers, we think along those lines. We think that storms, waves are there, Jesus says come, and we think everything's going to just smooth out so we can just glide along the path, you know, like nothing's going on. It does. Sometimes it may work that way, but often it does not. Often it seems like all hell breaks loose. And you have to believe in the midst of it. Well, Peter forgot that Jesus said it was him, so come. And he started looking at his circumstances. He started looking how the water had gotten rougher. And he started thinking, I can't do this. And he separated himself from the words of faith that he had spoken prior to that and started to sink. Yes, Jesus bailed him out, and Jesus said to him, O ye of little faith, and when you transfer that out, what Jesus was saying was, why did you stop believing? And that's a question that we need to ask ourselves when we find ourselves gripped in fear and we don't know what to do. We need to stand in front of the mirror and call out your name and say, why did you stop believing? And talk yourself back into a place of faith. Remember all the scriptures that got you where you were. Separating yourself from faith, folks, will get you nowhere fast. It'll get you nowhere fast. We have to remember that the words Jesus spoke to us were spirit words. They were life words. But I'll tell you this. If you separate yourself from the faith-filled words you've spoken, you're separating yourself from life. What do you mean, I'm going to die? No, you're separating yourself from life in Christ Jesus. Because by separating yourself, you're saying that you don't believe. And you do believe. You're just afraid. And you didn't know that you've already been given everything you need to burst through that fear in an explosion of faith. Just telling yourself, I don't care what happens. God said, no weapon formed against me shall prosper, and I believe it. God said, he gave me the keys to the kingdom of heaven. He gave me the keys of the kingdom. See, to the kingdom will get you in. Of the kingdom means you can open any door. It's like, I have keys of this facility. Some people have keys to it. I have keys of it. There isn't anything, anywhere in this facility that I can't get to. If I want to, I can unlock it. And the Bible tells us that whatever is forbidden in heaven, we've been given the power to forbid it in earth. And whatever is loosed in heaven, we've been given the power to loose it in the earth. We need to believe that and then act like we believe that. Because the scripture said, anyone who says to that mountain, be thou removed and cast into the sea, and shall not doubt, shall not separate themselves from the word they've spoken, that person will have what they say. And I'm telling you that there is nothing, nothing that will ever, ever be able to separate you from the love of God. And just like there's nothing that can never separate you from the love of God, there's nothing, there's no power on this earth, over this earth, under this earth, that can make us separate from faith. Cannot, yes, it can present things and we'll make a choice to separate, but nothing can wrench us away from the faith that we have in the words that in God and in Jesus Christ and in the words that they've spoken to us. Nothing can separate us from that. Just like love, not tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril. Or sword, neither death nor life, angels or principalities, not powers nor things present or things to come, not height, doesn't matter how big it is, how deep it is, or any other creature. We can add any diseases or viruses, not even what NASDAQ says, what OPEC says, what NYSE says. None of those things can separate us from the words that we've spoken in faith that come out of our mouth, and we will have what we say. Nothing can separate us, folks. We can have what we say if we stay in faith. And I believe that because we're believers. That's what believers do. We're believers, and that's what believers do. Wherever you are, say, I'm a believer, and that's what believers do. Do you believe that? I believe I see heads going, yes. I'm going to unhook. I want to leave you with that. Don't let anything or anyone cause you to separate yourself from the words of faith that you've spoken, because it's very important that you understand fear cannot stop you. You have been given power, love, and a sound mind so you can defeat fear. Fear is just the power of the enemy, and Jesus already gave us power, authority, physical and mental strength and ability over anything that the devil's got. Amen? Amen. Now, in order for this to work, there's a condition, not a catch, a condition. You have to be a new creature in Christ Jesus. And the way to become a new creature in Christ Jesus is to receive Jesus Christ as your Savior. So if you want to receive Jesus Christ as your Savior, it's very simple. The Bible says, confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in your heart God raised him from the dead, you're saved. So right now, just say this prayer right now. God, I believe Jesus Christ is your Son, and I confess this day that I receive Jesus Christ as my Savior, and I thank you, Jesus, for coming into my heart. If you said that prayer, friends, you've become born again. And what we'd like you to do is just call the office here, 845-623-9300, and just say, Sunday morning, when Pastor Greg asked us to make the confession, I made it, I believed it, and I'm saved. And leave a number, someone will call you back to get information to send you, you know, like a starter kit, if you will. Just want to give you some good information, some free information to help you get started on your way. And thank you so much, Pastor Ed and I. We thank you for your continued support of this ministry during these times. We're here. The government has recognized that churches are an essential business. So you can still mail your tithes, gifts, offerings here to Redeeming Love Christian Center at 145 West Route 59, Nanuet, New York, 10954. Or you can do it electronically. You can go to our website, www.redeeminglovecc.org, click the donate button and follow the prompts. Or you can do it our favorite way is you can text. 28 seconds. You text the keyword RLCC plus the amount that you want to give, and you text that to 28950. God bless you. And remember, we walk by faith, not by sight. See you next time.